Hello, Mighty Warrior. I want you to be brutally honest with yourself for just 1 minute. When you hear the word sex, does it make you feel excitement or shame? Do you think God or guilt? Does sex make you think of ways to draw closer to your wife or how to hide your sins from your wife? Does sex make you think about purity or porn? Love or lust? When it comes to sex, lust, or porn, most men, or maybe you, struggle with walking in sexual purity and integrity. And you've tried everything you can think of to control the urge to watch porn, lust after women, or masturbate. Things like adding filters to your computer and your smartphone. Getting counseling. Attending recovery groups. Praying and fasting. Abstaining from social media. And believe it or not, even getting married. And many of these things do work as a short-term solution. But it doesn't get to the root of a man's real problem. His identity and his authority in Christ. Now, as a born-again Christian who's also a 15-year recovering porn and sex addict, I knew there had to be a better, long-term solution to man's lifelong battle with lust and porn. And we found it. It's our one-on-one private Life Over Lust 30-day intervention. It's a unique, personalized, intensive program where I virtually walk side-by-side with you in sexual integrity for 30 days. That's right, for 30 consecutive days. I will do life with you by intentionally, strategically, and methodically taking you through a proven structured process to help you break free from sexual sin. However, because of the highly personalized nature of this program and my time commitment, there is a cost, and it's not cheap. And I can only take on 2 men at a time. No more, no exceptions. And you have to complete an application and be accepted first before I can take you on as a client. Now, I know this program isn't for everyone, and every man won't be able to participate. But if you're tired of losing a battle with lust, getting punked by porn, and surrendering to sexual temptation, personally email me at joe@realmenconnect.com to request an application and an interview. That's Joe, J-O-E, at realmenconnect.com. Hello, mighty men of God. Joe Martin here, man builder, award-winning speaker, author, and Tanya's husband and Kendall and Faith's dad. Welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. Every Wednesday, we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Today is the Real Men Check-In. The Real Men Check-In is just a quick way to help you start your week on the right foot in the right way. Every Monday, I share personal insights, encouragement, and support that will move you beyond church to real change. I keep it short, I make it fun, and then I'm done. So let's get started. Real men don't help God, they obey him. I think that's worth repeating. Real men don't help God, they obey him. During my quiet time this week, I came across some scripture in Genesis 16. And if you haven't had a chance yet, please go back and read Genesis 16. It's a great story about Sarai and Abram. I'm going to share with you my best verse from it. Now, let me kind of set the stage. This whole chapter to me focused on obedience. Now, or should I say disobedience? Now, you may find something different from it, but this is what I got from it. But I'm going to share with you my best verse. It says, "And Sarah said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children." She's talking about herself. So she's asking Abram, "Go into my servant Hagar, so it may be that I shall obtain children by her." Now, to me, this chapter is so rich with many lessons, and man, I don't even know where to start. But if you're a consistent Bible reader or a church attender, you're probably familiar with the story about God promising Abraham, who was Abram at the time, and Sarah, who was Sarai at the time, he had promised him children in their old age. But for some reason, Sarai had a hard time believing it, and she was very impatient. So let me go back and read that verse again. "And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. So go into my servant Hagar. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." Now, like I said, this chapter is rich in lessons, but for time's sake, I'm going to highlight just 5 of them. And then I'm going to share with you what God revealed to me about this text as it relates to me personally. And I hope that it blesses you too. Now, let's start with lesson 1. If you notice, Sarah said incorrectly. She said God prevented her from bearing children. And because of her impatience, she misunderstood God's "not now" for a "no." And like we often do, she looked for an alternative, some type of shortcut to God's promise. Now think about that. Have you God given you a promise or told you something in your heart that you knew was going to be true, and that for some reason you think God is a little bit slow on doing this, so I'm going to help God along, right? Now the thing is that when it doesn't work out the way we plan, we often tend to blame God. God, why didn't you do it? And in this case, Sarai blamed God for what God was saying, not now. God didn't give her a no. He was just saying, not now. Now here's the second lesson that jumped out at me. Now in verse 2, it says that Abram listened to the voice of his wife. Now Abram decided, okay, I'm going to listen to what Sarah is talking about, when he should have been listening to God's voice instead. Now let that sink in for just a second. Now, how many times has God given us something, given us a word, and then it's not working out? And then we decide to not listen to what God said, we listen to what other people say. And in this particular case, Abram was listening to Sarai's word and God and her voice over God's voice. God had given Abram the promise, not Sarai, but he didn't even consult God about the decision that Sarai wanted to make. He decided to go along with it. And we as believers often do the same thing. We'll let someone else convince us to go against God's promise and God's plan. Now let's jump to lesson 3. Not only did Sarah not consult God about this decision, she didn't even consult Abram about the decision. She commanded Abram by saying, go into my servant. In other words, have sex with Hagar, her servant, so she can bear kids. And what I got from this is that just like Adam and Eve, a passive husband always leads to marriage problems. Let me say that again. A passive husband always leads to marriage problems. We see that time and time again. Adam proved that with Eve. So instead of stepping up and following God's orders, Abram took orders from his wife, and it didn't work out the way they planned, not according to God's promise. Now, here's lesson number 4. Even though it wasn't God's plan, I thought it was interesting that God didn't prevent what they did. He didn't stop them from doing it. He didn't stop them from sinning. And God doesn't stop us from sinning, even though we wish he would sometimes, right? Instead, God always gives us choices not to sin, like he gave Adam and Eve in the garden. He always gives us the option to either do what we want to do or listen to what he says to do. Now let's get to the last lesson. The last lesson here that jumped out at me was from verse 4. Sarah looked with contempt upon Hagar after the act. Now ain't that something? Think about it. See, usually when we make it, now she made the choice, but now she's getting mad at Hagar. Now we do the same thing. At the moment of decision, we usually fall in love with our disobedience when we're going against God's word. But eventually we hate the consequences of that disobedience. And the pain of our consequences usually live and last a lot longer than the pleasure of our choices. That's why we need to follow God's wisdom, not our own understanding, because he knows best. And now, as I always do in my quiet time after I read scripture, I ask God to show me what the scripture says about me. Because a lot of times we love to read our Bible and we look at it as if it's a magnifying glass to find out what's wrong with other people, instead of looking at it as a mirror to reveal what's wrong in our hearts. Now, I usually do that by asking God through the Holy Spirit 5 questions. 1, what sin, God, do I need to confess or need to avoid in this particular scripture? Then the second question I ask is, God, what promise do I need to claim, either directly in the scripture or it pertains to this scripture? I ask him the third question, God, what attitude in my heart do I need to change? Examine me. God, that fourth question I ask is, God, what command do I need to obey? Maybe it's implied, maybe it's direct, but maybe I need to heed it and I need to follow it. And I also ask God the last question, God, what example of this, of somebody walking this out, do I need to follow, or a cautionary tale of what not to follow? So here's what God revealed to me when I did my journaling. I said, God, what sin do I need to confess and avoid? He says, making Sarai-type decisions after I made you Abram-type promises. Let me say that again. He said, avoid making Sarai-type decisions after he's given me Abram-type promises. I'm thinking that a preach, man, right there. Now, here's the second I asked. I said, God, what promise do I need to claim here? And God referred me back to Isaiah 55:11. He says that my word will never come back void and empty. That when I give you a promise, it will accomplish what I desire. Any word that I give you, it will accomplish what I desire and it will achieve my purpose. Wow, what a promise. God, what attitude in my heart do I need to change? And God says, patience and trust. Patience, knowing that my no's are not my denials, and to trust me and my sovereignty, that I'm all knowing. I know what I'm doing and I don't need your help to do it. Oh, I love it. Here's the fourth question I ask is, God, what command do I need to obey? And God says, obey me and walk blameless before me. You don't have to do it perfectly, but do it faithfully. And I said, God, what example can I follow here? He says, no, I'm gonna give you an example not to follow. Don't do what Abram and Sarai did. This is a cautionary tale of what not to do. And later on, we see that Abram and Sarai obeyed God and they walked in God's promise and they fulfilled the promise that God made to them. And God reminded me that he doesn't need my help to fulfill his promises. He invites me to fulfill his promises. He's inviting us all to walk alongside of him to fulfill those promises. And he said he will do that with us if we're willing to obey. Are you? Let's face it, real men don't need to help God. They just need to obey him. So that's the Real Men Check-In for this week. I hope that it blessed you. And if you found it helpful, please share this episode with other men who you may be mentoring or discipling. And make sure you check out our regular weekly interviews on Wednesdays. And to make sure you don't miss an episode, please visit our website at realmenconnect.com and join our growing community of real men. We also have a couple of free gifts waiting just for you. And Real Men Connect is a listener-supported podcast, and we're now the number one rated podcast on iTunes for Christian men. And you know, every week I try to share some podcast reviews with my listeners because they bless me so much. And I hope they bless you too as you hear them. And I want to pick one from this week. And this one is from R. Denman. R. Denman writes, as a new Christian, I've been trying to find anything that can help me along this journey. This podcast is the best that I've come across so far. And it's helped me to see where I can improve as a Christian and as a man. Come for this message and you won't be disappointed. Thank you, R. Denman, for that 5-star rating and review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And I'm encouraging you guys to do the same thing. Who knows? If you submit a podcast review, I may pick yours and read it on the air. And if you didn't know by now, Real Men Connect is a listener-supported podcast, and we're now the number one podcast on iTunes for Christian men. So if this podcast has blessed you in any way, you'd like to help us continue to bless and transform the lives of even more husbands, fathers, sons, and leaders, please prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. Just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the donate button. And may God bless your faithful giving. And thank you so much for listening, because without you, there would be no Real Men Connect. So keep on downloading, subscribing, and reviewing and sharing us with the world. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.